On transportation economic development, it is Tuesday, July the 1st, 2003. But this time I'm going to open We're going to open a work session on House Bill 5029. Good timing, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the subcommittee, House Bill 5029 is the budget for the Housing and Community Services Department. This was before you a couple of weeks ago. You actually went through and took action on most items. There are a couple of packages that are back before you. Package 156, which was approved by the subcommittee last time, we needed to bring back because there was an error in the calculation on those numbers. The federal fund limitation decrease was actually less than what was previously presented, so this package is back before you and must be approved again as modified. It establishes three client specialist positions due to increased workload to monitor compliance. Again, remind you that LFO is recommending approval of those specialist positions as limited duration. The other three positions are not recommended, and the reclass is not recommended. And so,
Senator
Duke. I apologize. Is this 3276?
This is 5029.
Thank you.
So that's package 156.
Right here. Turning
the
vision. You're
texting
it. I'm getting no.
Any questions about package 156? We just want to go ahead and move through.
You want to do that one before you.
This one?
Mm-hmm. You want to move it.
Let's go ahead and discuss with 003.
Okay. Members of the committee, package 003. This is the adjustment package to bring the budget in line with the co-chair's budget. We talked about this before, but I will review it again. In the co-chair's budget, there was some action to take community incentive fund dollars, lottery bond proceeds that had not been dispersed yet, and redirect those. And after that budget came out, it was discovered that that was not possible to do. And so working with the department and the co-chairs, the department came up with an alternative proposal to get us to the same point as far as the general fund goes. And so that's what this package does. This package transfers $5.53 million from the Housing Trust Fund to the General Fund. And then that trust fund money would be repaid from interest in the Community Incentive Fund and other interest money over the next several biennia to build up the corpus again. The package also reduces General Fund in the Housing Development Guarantee Account. It eliminates all General Fund support for the Commission for Voluntary Action and Services, which is $177,000. It eliminates general fund support for community development corporations, $218,000. And it reduces general fund from the emergency housing account and to be backfilled from the housing finance account. And also the lottery fund debt service amount is reduced by $730,000 because there is $5 million in bonding authority left that will not be issued. As anticipated in the governor's budget, so the lottery fund amount for the debt service has been reduced.
Senator Morris.
I wonder if it would be possible to have some comments from Bob with respect to his actions and how the department perceives what is being recommended.
Senator George, committee members, I'm Bob Repine, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. Senator Morris, in an effort to work with both the co-chairs and the current budget parameters, it was when we realized that in both the governor's proposal and the co-chair's proposal, the way they were planning or anticipating using the lottery-backed bonds was not going to work, because there is a requirement that those lottery dollars be used for economic development, which would include housing. So you could not just push it into the emergency shelter program or a service program and anticipate backing out general fund dollars. It just wouldn't work that way. We spent some considerable time working with a variety of other agencies to find out if there were other agencies who could use those lottery-backed bond issuances that we had under the criteria of the economic development. Unsuccessfully finding any of those individuals. I asked Mr. Krager to look at internally for our own programs how those resources could be used as substitute dollars, and in particular for the trust account. Now, the trust account, which was created back in the early 90s, was made up of all general fund dollars. And so it really becomes, it's a very fungible resource. Statutorily, it's very fungible. The Legislative Assembly could take it at any moment in time, of which, you know, there was a proposal going into the session that might have happened. The idea was twofold, was to, you know, try to keep our part of the budget picture in line with everybody's wishes, and also try to find how we can make that switch between lottery dollars and general fund. So the plan, as it was presented or read to you now by Mr. Olson and presented to Mr. Olson through us, was to push those general funds, those lottery dollars into the corpus of our trust account and back out the needed 5.53 in general fund dollars. And then the difference that it will not, it's not a straight dollar-for-dollar trade-off right now. It'll be pushing some in, but not taking a greater degree out, greater amount out. But as the rest of the incentive fund program, when we were running the incentive programs, they were both either loans or grants. And so we have on our books a series of loans that will be paid back over the next couple of bienniums. And as those paybacks from the incentive fund come to us, then those monies will then shift back into the corpus to get it extensively back to being held harmless over a couple of bienniums. I was mentioning Senator Dukes. Right now, the issue is the corpus, we are only by the law allowed to use the interest of it, of the $15.5 million that's in there. Well, today our yield, because it's invested with the Treasurer's Office, is less than 1%. So it's not like we're giving up a lot as it is. So I guess if there was a good time to do this, this might be the good time to do this. But it will have it will have an effect. There'll be less yield from it because there won't be some money made on the interest over time over the money that's not in the total of 15.5. But it will be not as severe as A, losing the trust account in its total or a large portion of it, and or also the severity of what we've tried to articulate at this committee in the past on our reserves that we have, which would have a tremendous implication both to the operation of the agency and also the risk of the programs that we administer through our lending programs. So as far short of it, as I guess, Senator, is that we kind of came up with this plan and have worked with staff and co-chairs to try to figure out if this is an alternative that would be viable for them.
And your answer was to that?
Yes.
Okay. Secretary Smith.
Thank you, Chair George, for promoting you there. Bob, the one area I have trepidation with is the elimination of general fund support for the community development corporations. While I do not currently serve on a community development corporation, I have served on the executive committee of one in the past. And this committee needs to understand those dollars are very valuable to help offset the expense of providing the services that this department's asking these development corporations to provide. And because so much of the money that they receive really is truly pass-through money, money that comes in and then is turned around and sent out to the communities, they need some base-level funding. And I'm worried if you take the $218,000 away, you might as well take everything else away, because these community development corporations aren't going to have the tools they need to get the money out. And from my perspective, these are the entities that are at the ground level that partner with the state of Oregon to help all of us look good after we make the decisions to get this money out. So I can support all this, but I can't support the $218,000.
Bob, relative to the community development corporations, what percentage is this $218,000 of their total?
As Mr. Krager has whispered into my ear, like I feel like I'm in a congressional hearing, Mr. Chairman, 20-25%. We're looking at the audience.
The total compared to
the general fund and the contribution of $218,000 over in the overall scheme of things.
The total amount in the Community Development Corporation, what's it?
State funding to see for Community Development Corporation?
No, it's total. What is
total,
the total amount?
Total. Other resources.
You know, we've never added up a bunch of all. There's 50 nonprofit groups that are potentially eligible for these funds.
Right.
Mr. Krieger will probably give you an idea of some of the other funds levels.
Quick,
there was a question. If you need that information, go ahead and take your time.
All right. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Rick Krieger, Chief Financial Officer for the Department. Based on my last analysis of the annualized budget of the 15 CDCs that Mr. Blatt had mentioned, it looked like it was approximately $1.1 million of total operating annual budgets that we had from in terms of our records. Now, obviously, we take the $218,000 and give that to them for a biennium, so that's you figure $100,000 of 1.1, so approximately 10-11%.
Yeah. And how would their budget compare with, say, 5 years ago?
I can plead ignorance there, Mr.
I got you off the hook on
that. Mr. Chairman, I know I have that information. I can't say right off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and get the information.
And our historian is coming up right now to whisper in our ears.
We've had decreases over the past 10 years. Was cut in half about 3 bienniums ago.
Okay.
Just like home.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'd say in terms of the general fund appropriation, this would be the first cut that we'd had in that. So it had been relatively stable over the period of time in terms of general fund. In terms of total operating, I wasn't sure what your question was. If it was the total operating budget of the CDCs, I'd have to go back.
Representative Cancer.
Here, I think I concur a lot with Representative Smith on this issue. I've had some limited experience with CDCs in North and Northeast Portland and some level of involvement. The housing packages that they put together are incredibly complicated in terms of everybody wants to be involved in the last 10% of the financing package. With the early money, they do incredible work with leveraging lots of different types of funding. But you know, you still need a little key kernel at the start to keep them whole and to keep them actually functioning. Then, if they've got, you know, a decent computer or they've got some grant money that's not terribly encumbered, that they can actually then they can do an incredible job of leveraging dollars from a lot of other sources. But if you lose that ability for them to really function at the very beginning, then you're losing a lot of other opportunities. And they've been growing. They need help, and they need this kind of some flexible grant money just to let them do the job that we're asking them. So I think this 218 is pretty important in the whole scheme of things.
Senator Morris.
In order to try to get a grasp of the magnitude of this issue that affects on putting product on the ground and construction, if you have an operating budget of these agencies of approximately $1.1 million, and we pull out 10% of that, I guess the question would be how much construction is actually being driven by these entities and what impact would that have actually getting projects up and moving? Because in this economy, if we're doing things that actually undermine the ability to build things, create jobs, create housing opportunities,
maybe we're not doing the right thing. So does that, is the question clear enough to
Mr. Chairman, Senator Morris, I don't disagree with anything that has been said about the importance or the role that CDCs play. To try to answer your question the best I can, is that all CDCs are not created equal. Not all of them involve themselves in housing activities. All of them are contributors to communities, from family resource centers to a variety of other services. Some, and many of them are housers, but not all of them are. I think what you have is a combination of what Mr. Smith was talking about. For communities where there is one CDC in a large geographical area, not multiples like Representative Hansen might have in Portland. Portland has a plethora of CDCs in a small geographical area. In Representative Smith's area, you would, and possibly in your area too, you have to go a long ways to find, within the acres that you guys live in, to find how many CDCs are covering that. And so one CDC can be covering many jurisdictions or geographical counties, and they might be the one and only place where either housing sources or opportunities are coming about, or any other forms of other services that they choose to have part of their business portfolio. So, yeah, these funds are as critical to them on their day-to-day existence, as probably more so, because they none of these organizations are rich. They're always doing everything on the margin, because that's their mission. They want to deliver services and product to this community that they're part of. That's the theme of the Community Development Corporation. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, the reductions will have significant, can have significant ramifications on some of them. And that's just so you'll know, even in the good times, that's not to say that we have not lost the CDC. I mean, CDCs can fail because of a variety of other reasons outside of just the financial issues. I mean, they can struggle and fail just because of their inability sometimes, or their lack of focus. Will that happen? Possibly. To what degree? I don't know. But again, I think they are a critical piece of the fiber of the, particularly the rest of the state of Oregon outside of Multnomah County area. Now, just so you know, we do partner up. We are a partner in a program called Neighborhood Partnership Foundation, which is a consortium of funders. So we bring our money to the table, both the general fund dollars and the CHOTO money, which is the federal programs, and put that on the table along with this nonprofit organization, which has also resources that come in from the Enterprise Foundation and other grants and endowments. And so we try to leverage our dollars. So we're not out there just playing in this market by ourselves with our CDCs. We try to make our dollars couple up with other program dollars and other investment dollars, so there's a bigger pool of resources available. We've been doing that now for the better part of two bienniums, 4 years, going on 4 years now.
I'd like the committee to remember that we're trying to get $5.53 million back into the general fund for things like schools and seniors and things like that. The other thing is that I wish that I was in an industry that had a 10% cut, because a lot of times our cut is cut that we get in our fluctuation of business because of markets is 50 to 70% reductions. And you suck it up and get through it, and many times you're actually more productive during that period of time. So, Bob, I'm going to ask you, you're telling me that you don't think these guys are going to be able to function within the community development corporations?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I guess what I'm saying is not that they can't function. The question is, again, as I mentioned before, they are on the – there's good ones, strong ones, and there's ones that are more vulnerable. And as in any business, even if these reductions didn't come along, something could have a persuasive change in how they do their business. And so a staff person could leave, the economy could tank, their apartment building burned to the ground. I mean, there's a whole variety of other things that could cause a failure. Will it mean the end of the day for any of them? I don't know if that I would go that far. Will it have an effect? I would say, as you just articulated, and you know, any kind of reduction has an effect, but you just kind of just suck it up and go with it. I guess I'm just trying to be as strong of an advocate without pushing anybody's buttons saying that they do play a very vital role in Oregon.
Bob, let me ask this question. The co-chairs didn't send us here for an opinion. They understood that there was an agreement. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm not here to debate. Someone was asking me the questions, and I was just responding to the questions. I'm not here saying that I want the $200,000. You didn't hear that from me. I'm responding to answers or questions that have been asked of me.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Georgia. In all fairness to everyone, I think I'm the one pushing this, and let me share with you why this is important. About 11 years ago, I came out of graduate school and went to work for a community development corporation, making $2,000 a month. And between my little broken-down car payment and my rent payment and my student loan payments, I barely was able to take care of my family. And so I know firsthand what community development corporations do. And I have to tell you, at this point in time in our economy, there's not a better tool to have in our toolbox than our community development corporations, because these folks are not only advocates, they're planners, they're grant writers, they're lenders, they're go-betweens, they're counselors for helping move our communities and the private sector very much so forward in trying to advance the goals of the legislature. And so they could take the cut. Will they go away? Probably not. But to me, it's the equivalent of sending a carpenter out with a rusty saw or sending a plumber out with only one pipe wrench. To me, that doesn't make sense. These are the folks that are going to get these dollars out there. We want it done right. We don't want loan programs being administered, and we don't have the staff or the dollars to ensure that loans are being followed up on, that they're not being maintained current. We don't want grants being written, and then there's no follow-up on those. And that's what these community development corporations do. They're managed as nonprofits with local boards. The nonprofits I'm familiar with have bankers on them. They have teachers on them. They have business owners on them. They have public employees on them. And I just have to tell you, if we don't support our community development corporations, we might as well not even have the rest of these programs.
Okay, we have some substantial problems with this budget, but this time we'll stand at ease. At this time, we're going to carry over package 003, and discussions will occur following this meeting. We're going to move back with consideration to package 156. I didn't hear any concern on that one. Are we ready to move 156?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I move adoption of package 156, the LFO recommendation.
Senator Dukes has recommended item A, package 156, under adjustments to governor's balanced budget, policy packages, and other adjustments. Is there any further discussion about 156? If not, without objection, so move. Well, we just closed the hearing on this time. We have to kiss the hearing at only.
If we're not going to hear it tomorrow, well, no, we won't, because we're under 1 hour notice now.
Okay.
So if something works out, we'll come back and we'll close again now.
And you, at this time, you don't want to move 3276?
No. Okay. Might as well hold on.
Very good. Okay, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 5029, and we're going to open up the work session on the Federal Housing and Urban Development Grant Application.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is a grant application. The Housing and Community Services Department sent a letter to the co-chairs dated May 14, 2003. There was some initial concern over this grant application, and so it was delayed somewhat. You have a packet that I've provided to you. The grant application deadline was June 23rd, so it is now a retroactive grant approval, but it's at no fault of the departments. So they're here and they can talk about the purposes of the grant, Mr. Chair.
Director Repine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I am Bob Repine, Director of Oregon Housing Community Services. As Mr. Olson has expressed to you that this was a request that we had put in earlier. There were some issues that or timing issues relative to getting it to you in a fashion that would not require us to be making a retroactive request. We have, with a wink and a nod, from the knowing that the co-chairs were going to allow this to happen now, we did very aggressively last week, over 3 days, spent a tremendous amount of time and effort writing a grant that would allow the assistance of, effectively, this is for home ownership, counseling, fire training programs, a variety of things that you can see listed in the proposed outputs for the grant in the front of the page that you have in front of you titled Retro Request to Apply. We know, and I think nationally we know, and here in Oregon it's even more predominant, that housing, home ownership is really the gateway to individuals' independence and or successes. Nationally, home ownership constitutes 64% of the citizens of the United States. Oregon lags a little bit in that. We're about 60% on the average of home ownership. And we are woefully under the average in our minority housing, to the tune of closer to 30% of minorities own housing. So we have had, and we are continuing, a very aggressive program to both do outreach with home ownership, to give people the training necessary to be a qualified home buyer. Being a homeowner doesn't mean you can just generally just step up and do it. If you've not had any experience or you've never had any other people within your immediate life relationship that were homeowners, it might be hard to figure out what a homeowner is versus a renter, and so there's things you got to do different. And so the idea to be able to offer training programs and teach individuals how to become the best homeowners they can be is extremely critical to being successful. So the foreclosure rate isn't something that is a relationship of poorly prepared individuals. So this grant allows, if you look on the backside, a variety of applicants who are listed who have these training programs that would be the benefactors of this $147,000 request. Again, you'll see, I think it's 9 different community action partners, CDCs, other people around who would be seeing resources that would come from this so they can continue on or offer home training buyer programs to their community partners. And then it fits in with our first-time homeowner buying program where we, if somebody graduates from a program like this, they're able to get some financial assistance for down payment assistance and get a very competitive rate right now at pitching at 4.5% 30-year fixed mortgage right now is what we're offering first-time home buyer mortgages at in the state of Oregon. So it's a real opportunity in this economy of mortgages as low as they are to really step up the pace of getting those who are eligible to be buyers, qualified to be buyers, so they can get into home ownership and free up those apartments they might be living in so we don't have to keep on building new ones. And so it's kind of the ongoing cycle of what we do in the agency on an ongoing basis. So that's, in effect, what the request is. We won't know the results of the request, the application that was submitted last week, until probably a few months from now. We're hoping that even though the shortness of the time might have deteriorated on the quality of the application, we're hoping that we will be successful.
Any questions for them?
If I do, but I'll hold them, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Senator Lee.
I move approval of the request from the Department of Housing for a $150,000 grant. Somebody's got to have a...
Some sort of ID.
From HUD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. HUD Housing Council.
Close enough.
Yep.
What would you call it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duke, on the heading of our paper, you'll see it's a summary of the HUD Housing Counseling Grant application.
That one, the HUD Housing Counseling Grant Program, $150,000 grant application.
Okay. Senator Duke has moved the approval of the application to HUD for. Now I just dropped it. Say it again. Yes, HUD.
Housing Counseling Grant.
Housing Counseling Grant.
That's we need help there. Again.
Housing. Okay, we understand the grant, don't we?
Housing Counseling
Grant. Okay. All right, any questions, further questions about the application? All right, without objection. Seeing and hearing none. So moved. That's it. Okay, we will close the work session on the Federal Housing and Urban Development Grant application. And with the tap of the gavel, if there's nothing further to come before the committee, we will be adjourned.